Blog Talk Radio.
You got the light to fight the shadow, so stop hiding it away.
Shalom! And again, my brothers and sisters, I can only say that I'm utmost thankful for the opportunity to be back with you here again. Yes, we're back again, another episode. Yes, another episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Eddie Mia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful to the Most High, yes indeed, for the opportunity to be back with you here again. To speak these very precious words, yes, these very precious words which the Most High has granted me for the blessing of his people. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, he has told me that I have for him very important things for him to do. And he told me because of what I must do. He has told me, yes, indeed, that I would accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, he said to me I would have his protection and his guidance. He told me, my brothers and sisters, that indeed I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, he told me I must tell you things. That men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall, to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and if they could, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. But I'm, again, my brothers and sisters, utmost thankful. Yes, indeed. I'm indeed, my brothers and sisters, utmost thankful, because the truth of the matter is, the only hope for mankind to ever be made one, the only hope for mankind ever to be true to the Most High Creator, the only way, my brothers and sisters, for man to be true to the plan of creation, whereby all things were certainly created to function in harmony as one, is that the Most High promised, yes, indeed, he promised, that surely it would come to pass, that in a time of refreshing, which the Most High himself has foreordained, man shall, I repeat, man shall be redeemed to discern purely and perfectly what is the will of the One Most High. For there's no question about it, my brothers and sisters. No question about it at all. It shouldn't be. The Most High could never sanction all the diverse, undisciplined, reprobate presumptuousnesses of men as if they were his word. We live in a society, however, that has made for itself, or declared for itself, license, whereby men, just because they claim certain particular national or political allegiances, for all that they say diversely and contentiously, we live in a society that somehow has given license to it all. If men are true to certain institutions of man, can you think about that for a minute? Stop and consider. When this nation was formulated, when folk the world over came to this country, by the way, before I talk about that more, there's a problem with the BTR chat. I mean, I know some of you see what I see, but it appears that what I sought to type in might have come in a little strangely tonight. Yeah, Makes it a little difficult for me to type in, but it looks like some of you are having much less difficulty. So, hey, hallelujah. Thank the Most High for that. But as I said, my brothers and sisters, consider, when folk the world over came to this country, spiritually speaking, it was a matter, quite frankly, nobody knows, so everything goes. Think about what I mean by that. People came to this country from somewhere everywhere. Many having all manner of their own beliefs. And I'm talking about differences, my brothers and sisters, from deep Catholicism to some groups, actually, my brothers and sisters, when they first came over here, believe it or not, whether they understood the depth of them or not, they knew that such customs as Easter, Christmas, and Sunday were actually pagan, and they did not celebrate them. I'm talking about folks who had their religious beliefs when they first came here. Predominantly, those having control coming over here from Europe, we can talk about the schisms of the Protestant Reformation right close to the time and many throughout Europe began to come to this country. And like I said, there were people came here from all manner of different beliefs, from deep Catholicism, certain nationalist beliefs, traditions, cultures, ideals. And then you had some who began in the Protestant Reformation to even come from certain cultures that had outlawed, I hope you hear me, that outright outlawed such customs as Christmas. But they still kept the Sunday, and they still kept the Easter, and blah, blah, blah. Okay. You have people, like I said, with their varying nationalist beliefs, traditions, superstitions, all coming to their various colonies in this country, forming their own, if you will, states. But like I said, when they came over here, was it a matter of man having discerned righteousness in order to establish what they call so-called constitution of this country? Think about it. Was it a matter of anyone knowing what indeed is the righteousness of Yah? Think about it. 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, talks about the power of tradition. The rulers of this world coming into the church, presiding over it, as if they had authority in their lawlessness, their lack of knowledge. And Scripture has already told us about that. Men in their lack of knowledge seek to establish their own righteousness, refusing to submit or discern what is the righteousness of Yah. Refusing to submit themselves to what the Most High revealed by faith, they seek to establish their own ideals, deceiving not only themselves but so many others. And we are warned that not everybody has heard the preaching of the gospel. But brothers and sisters, the various standards taught by the various nations of this world are the standards of the nations, not the kingdom of Yah. And when we pray the prayer, Our Father, who art the Most High, hallowed, holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in the kingdom of the Most High. We pray that prayer, my brothers and sisters. Are we praying for the perpetuity of the illusion or an end to it? That prayer is a prayer of allegiance, my brothers and sisters, to will Yah. How many of us really want to fully understand that? Can it be that many refuse to discern what the pure will of Yah is just so they can pretend? You need to think about that. The prayer speaks later, saying, thine or unto Yah belongs the kingdom, the sovereignty, the majesty. How about the glory? How about, if you will, then, my brothers and sisters, the beauty of all that the Most High has established as a construct, all things perfectly harmonious together, invariant in wisdom, invariant, therefore, then, in light. Nothing acting as a contradiction against the fullness of all things being brought to bear, according to what the Most High declared, consistent in consistency from the very beginning. The glory, the beauty of how the Most High has conceived all things to work together. The reverence for who has formed it. Yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters. The power, the precepts, the glory. Forever. My brothers and sisters, it declares not only is the manifestation, the construct, the beauty of what the Most High has declared, that all creation function in order. Not only is Yah to be given always the honor for having established such beauty, but my brothers and sisters, it is also not just the statement of allegiance to give glory to Yah, but it's also always, therefore, my brothers and sisters, a statement of repentance. Because what it means is, though man has strayed, still yet the will of Yah, yes indeed, the will of Yah is eternal. Did they tell you, my brothers and sisters, the scripture said, in the beginning was the word for in the beginning is also that which is eternal? Rishon Acharon, the beginning, the end, the first and the last. Did they tell you such a thing? Meaning that the Most High does not change? Well, think about it. In 2 Thessalonians, it talks about a perversion. Perversions after the principalities and powers, it says in Colossians. Melded together to the Colossians 2 and 2 Thessalonians, and you find what it is that has intruded itself within the doctrines right there in the midst of the churches. So much so that after pollutions enter in, after they've been there for a while, though they be right out there in front of everybody's face because of a fallen dimension of discretion, men no longer recognize the sin of it. Scripture calls it the mysteries of iniquity, the mysteries of injustice. How about the mysteries of lawlessness? Because when the scripture says, calls it the wicked, it all relates, but the word for wicked also means the same thing. It means lawless, injustice, inequity. It means unrighteous. And says after this occurs, men will, those who prefer unrighteousness, less than what is the fullness of divine will, it says those who prefer unrighteousness, who love lies, but did not say they'd be saved, it said they'd be damned. Therefore, we understand, my brothers and sisters, that since lies divide men, separate men from the will of God, that's a matter of returning to the truth if man is to be delivered. But nevertheless, was truth, we have to ask ourselves, was truth the utmost idea on the table when the nations of this earth, as we see them today, were formed? Think about it. When folk the world overcame to this country, spiritually speaking, it was a matter of nobody knows or nobody wants to declare absolutely unless we then have the arguments continue. Because that's exactly what was going on in Europe. People having basically religious wars. One went against another because one group believed one thing, another group believed another. Look at Ireland. Good example, Protestant and Catholic. There's a need, my brothers and sisters, to understand what was the impetus when they first, when people came from all over Europe and they brought others with them. to this country. And it's neat to realize, my brothers and sisters, something that's a very powerful concept. Look at your money. It is a Federal Reserve note. But realize, my brothers and sisters, when we stop and consider such things as the fact that when they first began to think about what they wanted for the capital of this nation, isn't it amazing, my brothers and sisters, for those who understand the reality? What does it imply when they, one of the cities they wanted to be a capital was Maryland, and its capital of that state, Maryland, is Annapolis. Annapolis. City of Anna. The capital of Maryland is the city of Anna. Look it up sometime, my brothers and sisters, among the doctrines of the Romans and the Greeks. And in so many ways, those who know the truth know that the Catholic Church basically used the name Mary as another form of what they call the Queen of Heaven. Isis, Ishtar, Astarte, Artemis, Ashtaroth, all the same. Isis, yes, my brothers and sisters, that the pagans call the Queen of Heaven, or the Queen of the Universe. Well, I can only tell you that I was somewhat shocked the first time I got a chance to drive down the border highways of Florida. And I actually saw alongside the freeway and had to stop and take a picture for sure of an old Spanish temple, church. And amazingly enough, at the top of it, it said, Mary, Queen of the Universe. How many understand, my brothers and sisters, the paganism that that concept comes from? When so many scriptures call the worship of the King, Queen of Heaven a matter of having forsaken the Most High. But nevertheless, like I said, the colonies came here. Like I said, some of them were deeply, when they first came here, a lot of folks who first came here were seeking to escape throes of Catholicism. And many of those who first came here were Protestants. And believe me, this might sound like a shock to you. Many Protestants, realizing that customs like Christmas was pagan, it was not a primary custom here in the U.S. until Catholics came here and began to celebrate it. And other Protestants later on began to want to see what the Catholics were doing. How many understand that there was a long period of time that in various parts of Europe, like for instance in England, there was a long period of time that the custom they call Christmas was absolutely outlawed. I can only tell you, if you really want to know what the ancient Christmas custom looked like, it looked very much like what we call Mardi Gras today, for all this revelry. They call it Bacchanalia for a reason. There's an article on my website. If I can type it in, I will. I'm having a little trouble with being able to type anything in tonight. But there's a website. Looks like I'm having a little difficulty, so I'll go ahead and just tell you. www.hiddengospel.com. There's an article there called Bacchus Connection. Very definitely needs to be looked at for those who might be highly enlightened by the knowledge that is there. And the number of connections with illusion, pagan illusion, that are right in front of us every day, but very few recognize what they see. Scripture says Messiah will come, he will not judge it for what his eyes see, nor what his ears hear, meaning he's not going to so quickly accept how things are categorized according to the discretion of men. It's after the spirit that he judges. But like I said before, my brothers and sisters, there's a need for greater discretion. The Most High told me it takes great discretion for a man not to lift up his soul unto vanity. It takes great discretion for a man not to live his entire life never having known fully what is acceptable unto Yah. But like I said, when folk the world over came to this country, spiritually speaking, it was a matter of basically them saying that we don't want to declare what's right. Nobody really knows exactly what's right because everybody had their own belief. So they just simply wanted to make a covenant saying some of everything goes. Yehuda said they pervert the grace of Yah according to their own dissensions, whatever seemed right in their own hearts. The scripture says also, in the, if you read through the course of those verses, 1 and 1 through 15, it calls it unbelief. It says the Most High destroys those who, if he seeks to deliver, he destroys those who will not believe. And he says he's going to convince man one day against all this unrighteousness, though men had given it license. So I can only say this. Remember these founding fathers. Their goal was to govern this mass of diverse peoples. And remember they were Masons, an international organization. If you go back and look, we talk about divide and conquer tactics. Institutions that ultra-nationally sometimes even created wars. So as to, if you saw the movie, what was his name? The movie where they said, they need us. Creating all manner of contentions among nations. Creating all manner of contentions among nations for the express purpose that the people feel like they need protection from a governing system that so oftentimes just creates distractions for the express sake of unifying the people. When the truth of the matter is kind of like this. You got bees in your house, and somebody runs up and say, hey, I know how to get rid of bees. But you ask the question, who was it that threw the beehive in your window? Bee for Vendetta is the name of the movie I'm talking about. Something to consider about the way sometimes governing systems rally and galvanize people. A lot I could say about that. Yes, there is. Think about it. When they wanted to galvanize these initial, they say, 13 colonies, they had to come up with some common premise so as to galvanize the people and curtail internal strife of the kind that existed or had already existed in Europe in this new land that they sought to claim. And it was a matter of seeking, if you will, to unite the state. Let me tell you something. Truth is not the first priority on the agenda. So I have to ask the question, what then do men say is necessary to set me free? That they pretend to be wise? That they pretend to be true? That they pretend to be holy? That they pretend to be true to the purpose of the Most High? And as long as nobody says anything, it's okay? You think this will never be challenged? Think about the book of Jude, my brothers and sisters, Judah. Hey, think about 2 Thessalonians. It says the Messiah will expose the pretense by the spirit of his mouth. Think about it. He said, if you love me, he said, keep my commandments. Preserve the truth against all those who would corrupt, distort, take away, add to. Because think about it, if man has a right to add to and take away from the Holy Word, it's really like saying that the Most High is not one and saying that he is divided and that every man is his own judge according to his own premise. My brothers and sisters, if that were the case, when would there ever be peace? When would there ever be the knowledge of truth? When would there ever be oneness with him who does not change? And believe me, it's a big lie when they tell you there's a new covenant with a lie. My brothers and sisters, those scriptures are not talking about a new covenant as much as that word means a refreshing and a remembrance unto that which the Most High declared from the beginning, because man among many nations, after differing allegiances, has forgotten so much. The scriptures have you scattered among those nations, among all these nations. He says faith still has to bring forth a perfect work, meaning faith still has to bring forth a single-mindedness among the people of Yah, because faith in Yah could only do that, meaning that he alone is Savior. And if a multitude of nations after a multitude of different devices tell you otherwise, they lied. He said, if you love me, He never said the indiscriminate compromise of the spirit after worldliness, is his commands. He never said, if you love me, indiscriminately compromise his truth and whatever the world says. If he said, love me, keep. It's like you keep a child. You try to keep it from harm. Meaning that the words and expressions of this world, my brothers and sisters, are not true to what will bring forth perfect peace. In fact, that's the reason why scriptures say, as they do in Zephaniah 3:13, that the remnant of Israel will speak no lies, do no iniquity, and there will be none to harm them. Every lie, my brothers and sisters, a man believes is an affliction against the human conscience. And the more lies men uphold, the more spiritually depraved they become, even if they know it not. True faith, my brothers and sisters, is not after a worldly status quo. The hope of the promise is the pursuit of the pure and perfect divine truth that this world selfishly consumes without the love of Yah. I say, I love the truth. Have so often refused to submit to and know. We've been talking of late about the scripture, Isaiah, 42nd chapter. I said Isaiah, 42nd chapter. And the scriptures tell us this well, that Messiah will come to redeem a world and even to redeem his people who will believe him by a word of truth. Yes, my brothers and sisters, by a word of truth, they had not known. How about a dimension of truth, my brothers and sisters? They had not known. How about even upon a foundation that most had not considered? And that means, my brothers and sisters, since that dimension of conscience only comes by the power of Yah, man must look beyond all these multitude of contradictions if ever he's going to be delivered from those who dared to presume with regard to anything in association with the Most High. Isaiah 42:16 says, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them a path and lead them in a path that they have not known. I'll make the darkness light before them and the crooked place straight. These things I will do for them and will not forsake. What do you think Messiah meant when he said, give them, Father, for they know not what they do? He was saying, forgive them, do not leave them forsaken. For while they know not what they do, they are so easily led astray. If the gospel be hid, they know not what they do. If the gospel be hid, men are lost. Men are easily misled. But in a world where none discerns absolutely what is the gospel, what is that pure and unadulterated word from on high, so easily are men who just don't want to admit the fallen state of human conscience. So easy is it for those who would soothsay and flatter the minds of the people to actually, my brothers and sisters, bewitch so many unto damnations forever, and men hardly ever even know it. What is this way that they knew not? Isaiah 59 is clear if we compare the scriptures. And I want to kind of slow it down a little bit tonight. I realize I might have, at times, kind of ran a little quick sometimes a little bit last night. But, you know, I just want to relate some premise here. Isaiah 59:8 says, the way of peace ye know not, and there's no judgment in their goings. They are made for themselves crooked paths. It sounds so much like that verse we just got through reading. Made for themselves crooked paths. Whoever know goeth therein shall not know peace. The gospel of peace, what the scriptures speak of, and what it is called, in Ephesians 6 and in Romans 10. It means that a pure, perfect word from on high, my brothers and sisters, untainted, no wise twisted after the misconceits of man, that is the hope of a holy kingdom wherein harmony, peace, life, and love can truly exist. But, my brothers and sisters, though this be the case, we live in a world today that basically says that if we just simply excuse the massive corruption that we see, that somehow in just excusing these corruptions, there's the hope of salvation. Who, my brothers and sisters, can believe that walking according to the illusion is deliverance from an illusion? It's time to realize our salvation demands we seek the whole arm of Yah, the politicizations deny. To say that 45,000 denominations is viable is to deny the sovereignty of Yah himself. Like I said, my brothers and sisters, truth, and Messiah said the truth is what sets men free. He said the truth is what sets men free. But if the agenda of a system is not truth, then stop and consider, if the agenda is not the truth, the agenda is to find some way to constantly lie. Like I said, my brothers and sisters, we are taught to pray, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. When did the authority be passed on to another? Never. Please, my brothers and sisters, it's time to understand the reality. It's time to realize, my brothers and sisters, what the Most High has always declared as the only path toward peace, the only path toward righteousness, the only path toward the peace we say we pray for. Pagans had another concept of peace. They called it Pax Romana. It was basically a compromise with whatever seemed to be strong enough to resist being overthrown. In other words, if someone, hey, think about it this way. Romans thought they worshipped a multitude of all-powerful gods. And they went out to battle against other nations. And they basically say they pitted their gods against another nation's gods. And if a nation seemed to have force enough to resist, they just said, well, that nation has worshiping another one of the gods. And they just mingled them all together and sat back and said that this massive compromise, they would find peace in an arena where they could not reconcile their differences any other way. But my brothers and sisters, the Most High did not create this world to be divided. Did you hear me? He did not create this world to be divided. He did not create this world for everyone to sit back and tell him what is his plan. And because my brothers and sisters, the Most High declared a plan for peace from the very beginning. And nothing else but what the Most High declared from the beginning will bring that peace. Think about it. Shall men dare to say, I repeat, shall men dare to say that if nobody knows what the reality is, or if men only argue with regard to what that plan is, that whatever men say is viable becomes so? Oh, my brothers and sisters, the Most High has a far greater plan for his people. He declared it from the beginning, nothing will change it. Nothing will change it. And if a whole world is blind as to what that plan is, did you hear me? If a whole world is blind to what that plan is, still the Most High will do everything according to how he decreed it. But there are those, my brothers and sisters, who I'm telling you now, believe me, I've been at this for a while, who dare to say that if most people don't know about what the plan is, that simply the Most High cannot bring the kingdom until the people know better. That is another lie. The scriptures actually say that when Messiah comes, all of a sudden the world will be shocked to find out just how much the leaders have lied. But do you think they're going to tell you that? No, my brothers and sisters. That is not their goal. I repeat, that is not, never has been, their goal. If the heads, like I said before, the seminaries, are creating degrees that they could pass out that people would have, wherever they might go and preside over a church. Don't you know that it's never been about absolution to these people? If they have something they call United Nations, and the nations are not about any sort of absolution, but about simply preserving and granting what they call statehood and sovereignty to nations and peoples who know not and won't seek the perfect will of Yah. You ever stop to consider that there could be an international plot at hand to assure that none discerns the truth, lest someone have the upper hand? You ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, what's written in Psalms 2? It says, and why do the nations rage and the people imagine vain things? How about it is because the kings of the earth have taken counsel against the Most High and against his anointed, meaning that there is an international complicity to keep people blind to the greater truths. Meaning that whoever would stand up for that truth, my brothers and sisters, puts himself in what many might consider a precarious situation. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, the only way any man is going to be delivered, he has to both find the truth and stand up for it. That's the only chance. I repeat, the only chance. Messiah himself said, if any man be ashamed of his words, yes, in this crooked generation, he said, you'll be ashamed of that man before his father, because they put down before his angels. How about all those who were his faithful messengers? Were an angel messengers the same? Think about it, my brothers and sisters. I'm looking at the scripture here. I mean, you know, how often do I hear when I just sit back and listen to what people are saying? People are talking about what they call rapture doctrine. Total lie. You look at that article on my website, Rapture Debunked. Because people are saying, okay, all who have called upon the name of the Most High, because they called upon his name and said they were believers, who taught them to make them a believer? Because men said they were believers. They just say that when Messiah comes, he's just going to take them up to the skies. After all the indiscriminate thinking, as if there's no need to discern what is truth, and whatever men said, as long as they just said they were believers, not knowing what to believe. They say they were worthy to be called one before Yah? Not going to work that way, my brothers and sisters. Every soul will be checked, inspected for all that men believe. For anyone is sealed and confirmed true unto Yah. That I promise you. those who understand it. You talked before about such scriptures like Yohanan 3:35-36. He accepts his testimony. He accepts, believes, accepts his testimony. Right from there it says, he who accepts his testimony sets his seal or ascribes to himself a seal. In other words, is allowed to be confirmed then with a seal. But Yah is true. It really means that one who can accept and confirm divine testimony, Yah will confirm that one is true. He allows to himself the opportunity to be sealed, confirmed as true unto Yah. It actually says, he who believes in the Son has life. He who does not obey, and they didn't tell you the word for obey, understand, is also the word for understand, keep, preserve, maintain, defend. The Son, he does not obey, does not have life, and the wrath of Yah shall remain upon him. How is it, my brothers and sisters, that men have somewhat believed that according to the thoughts of their own hearts, they shall be delivered? If man will not realize the need to exceed worldly illusion, worldly contentions and divisions, shall he say that all these tolerances, as they call it, that's the choice word they use, for mass hypocrisies, shall men say that such as this, my brothers and sisters, is acceptable unto the Most High to be called peace? Shall there be no drive for fullness of righteousness? If man doesn't believe the need to overcome deceit, what is it that motivates him? And what does he, or what is he tricked into calling his God? Think about it. If men see no need to overcome deceit, then they make deceit their master. Think about it. I'm looking at a scripture at Isaiah 57, and it talks about man's need if he's going to awaken to what the Most High calls acceptable unto his kingdom. It says, this is supposed to be 58. What about this up at? 57 and 8? Wow. How about 58 and 8? Maybe I can change that. If you were, in just a second, I'll see what I can do with that. And if I can fix it quickly. Just refresh your page and it'll come up as what it should be. Let's see. Here we go. All right. And also some other things that might need to be updated. Can be clarified as well. Because I called the show tonight, When Lies Divide Us, Truth is Our Healer. But think about it, my brothers and sisters, that's true. For those who have a love for the truth, there are some that when you speak the truth to them, their arrogance denies them in their lack of reason and opportunity to be healed. That's why the scripture says by faith that you saved. It didn't say by your unbelief. It didn't say by every man's unbelief is there a unison, a reconciliation of the peoples. So we have to understand the reality. The scriptures talk about seeking forth ultimately what is justice. And it says, then your light shall break forth as the morning. Think about how the scriptures talk about the breaking forth of the day or the springing forth of the day. It's also the same words for the rising of the sun or the, if we call, what the scriptures call sunrise, or the ending of the darkness and the bringing forth of light. Same concept. Then shall your light break forth as the morning and your righteousness. Look how many times they talk about the idea of bringing forth a pure, perfect light unto righteousness. Righteousness being a love for all the Most High declared in truth. Casting again out all the confusion, all the darkness, all the intermingling of darkness and light that only results in darkness. Let me tell you something. Maybe I need to explain this concept again. In the Hebrew mind, there's no such thing as a perfect evil. Evil is a deviation from a perfect state. So any deviation away from that which the Most High from the beginning has declared is sin, is division, is not that which impresses or honors the Most High, but that which dishonors him. Is not what draws man to him, but separates man from. Shall man, my brothers and sisters, flagrantly offend the Most High and say the Most High with this is pleased because it is man that did it? My brothers and sisters, man was created to commune in the mind of his Creator. Never for anything less. But he said, if you seek what is justice, see, then shall your light break forth as the morning, your righteousness spring forth speedily. Every lie man believes is an obstacle against a greater dimension of truth. And your righteousness shall go before you. In other words, shall be a guide to you. In fact, your knowledge of what is concentric, conjunct, all things harmonious, no contradiction, against what the Most High declared from the beginning as an eventuality, shall be a light to your path. Righteousness shall go before you. Light shall go before you. And the glory, again, we're talking about this concept of light and wisdom, shall be your reward. Even shall be unto your finding and attaining the ultimate reward. And then you shall call, and Yah will answer you. You shall cry, and he shall say, here I am. If you remove deceit from your midst, to release the prisoners, and cease speaking falsehood. 45,000 denominations have men thought about the idea, about they need to discern the difference between truth and a lie, so the men might escape the lie and the liar. 45,000 denominations. Is this, after all these contradictions, what people call the Christian faith in the one Yah? Or is it Babylon, my brothers and sisters? I believe that this is time that we realize that when Messiah comes, all prophecy said at Isaiah 41, at Malachi 3, that it will reprove all the kings and priests of this world. It is not because, my brothers and sisters, they have spoken the truth that they will be reproved. It is not because they have spoken the truth that the divisions exist. It is because the rulers, my brothers, have lied. My brothers and sisters have lied. When the scriptures talk about overcoming sin, how is it that so few have considered that the ruling bodies of this world which divide this earth, though the earth belongs to Yah and the fullness thereof, that the ruling bodies of this world which divide it are sin? They're certainly not lawful. They're certainly not orderly. My brothers and sisters, if any man seek to lead any man against the perfect will which the Most High declared from the beginning, or he knows it not, my brothers and sisters, his works, his efforts, his deliberations are vain. Dare any man say then that there's no need to seek the Most High for the truth that the world has not known? As I said before so many times on this show, the promise of Yah is unto an elect generation ultimately in these latter days. The promise of old, all those who past attained to this promise of peace. Look forward to an elect generation that the Most High has a plan to ensure that they will see the glory of Yah, and men will be led by a path, a way of truth, a pure, perfect word of truth that they had not known, because few are they who discern that the word of Yah is not after all the diversities men have declared, but the word of Yah is a pure word. Maybe I need to slow things down to people to really understand this. Think about it. If man would not realize need to exceed worldly illusion, while all he knows to believe remains a pack of worldly misconceits, lies, and misrepresentations, will his own lips save him? If a man's lawless, how about lacking knowledge, arrogant and ignorance belief, or what men call the gospel, then who man does man say is actually the judge? Who is it that man says is wise? Who is it that man says is the Most High? If every man's word, just because he calls himself a believer, makes it so. What does he believe is the question. Think about it. The result of such thinking, my brothers and sisters, every man exalting himself according to his own ideas can never restore agreement and the beauty of the plan for eternal peace, which Yah has declared irrevocable, foreordained from the beginning. Scripture says Messiah is that word, is the embodiment of those precepts, that concept which the Most High declared from the beginning. And all things being made upon that initial concept, harmony, whatever it is, my brothers and sisters, is not functioning in line with it, functions outside the very forces of life, the very forces of the universe itself. And my brothers and sisters, such a thing, functioning outside the forces of existence, perishes. And it's time we understand that. The question we need to ask is, man, however, in an indiscriminate society, bewitched by this terminal thing that he calls life. I said bewitched by this terminal thing that he calls life. Let me tell you something. Trust me, the Most High concept of life is not something that comes to an end. Please understand that. The Most High has a concept of life, and his concept of life is that it does not end. Or else he would be saying, since his very name means life, he would call himself a terminable thing. So please understand. But in a world where everybody says that whatever they believe, they say they confess the name of the Most High, and they have eternal life, though they haven't had an eternal agreement. They haven't had a perfectly consistent word. Men saying they have eternal life actually in so many ways offended the Most High. Because like I said, what the scripture say? In Malachi 2:17, he told the priest, say, you weary me, you dishonor me, you vex me with your words. When you say everyone who does, how about in his own deviant or contentious way? You say he's still good in the sight of the Most High and delights himself. As if such as this sin will bring forth life rather than demise. Here, my brothers and sisters, what I'm telling you is the scriptures actually, if you really understand them, talk about 2 Thessalonians, it says there's an intrusion of lies against the truth. He said those who believe that intrusion of lies, he says, are damned. He did not say saved. And do you really think 45,000 denominations having pastors who preside over a particular church or belief system or congregation just because the pastor says so and so and so and so has gone off to glory, do you really believe it's so when the scriptures actually say those pastors themselves for teaching foreign ideals? He said he was destroyed out of the temple for having done this. Look at Malachi's second class chapter closely. But that's not what everyone wants to believe. People want to be flattered. But my brothers and sisters, the desire to be flattered rather than spoken the truth to, that too is a damnable offense. Because the desire to be flattered is a desire to uphold what the Most High will not and cannot. But my brothers and sisters, in a society where men are complicit with so many diverse, contentious, adverse contradictions, is man compelled to examine his thoughts in a complicitly divided world? You ever stop to consider what the end result is if you set up any institution in a nation that just simply sits back and tell people, say, hey, as long as you do the job of the boss, and the boss is not Yah, he doesn't care whether you find the truth or not. I mean, the boss doesn't care about you either. Because the Most High is not going to accept an illusion. But brothers and sisters, truth of the matter It is the duty of every single living soul, if we say we love each other, to seek everything the Most High declared, nothing like it. Tonight, we had a little problem putting stuff up in the chat room, but my website, hiddengospel.com, has articles like the one called Early Church Origin and New Expectation. Hey, that truths that, my brothers and sisters, that the scripture said in advance, the leaders of the churches and leading the various governments of this world would not tell you. Secret City prophecies. Hey, evidence of this from one end of the book to the other. But the scriptures say in advance, when the people find out about it, it's going to be a mystery to them, and they're going to count their rulers treacherous for not having told them. This is right there in the book. And amazingly enough, the leaders still do not speak, because it means, though they're they call it their job, their avocation, is to gain the trust of the people. They could hardly tell them that their trust should be unto the revelation and realization of a truth transcendent all the multitude of contentions that exist, predominantly because the foundation of truth they all ignored. And my brothers and sisters, for this reason I often try to relate again and again on this show. The early faith was not called Christianity. It was called Kurdishanya. And that word relates, my brothers and sisters, they look for a day that Messiah would come reveal a pure, perfect, and variant gift of light. Truth, my brothers and sisters, after none of the taint or blindness of this earth. And those who believe that pure and perfect truth, because the Most High will not allow the lie to tarry in his eyesight, those who believe that truth, my brothers and sisters, to walk after that truth, to love that truth, to preserve that truth, to seeking to discern that truth, they might not speak a presumptuous lie against that truth. These are the ones the Most High will call precious. But like I said, my brothers and sisters, a society such as this that sanctions so many forms of confusion, a world like this that sanctions many forms of confusion, has it taught men to respect the Most High? Has it taught men to honor him? Or think about it this way. People have a tendency to worship what they see grants them success, or what they call success. My brothers and sisters, there are those in this world that believe that they will have acceptance and even success before the Most High. While even if the truth were offered to them, they would not speak it. In season and out of season, my brothers and sisters, there must be a drive and an effort. If you say you love your brother, and you know the Most High offers you the opportunity unto the truth, you have a responsibility to speak, discern, and uphold it. Or dare men say the Most High has no one no one with him to stand up for reality? That would be such a shame. But believe it, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures actually do declare that there's a dimension of truth that the world is going to have to catch on to very, very quickly. And there's a reason why, my brother says, the scripture said he had on him a name written which no man knew but he himself. It means the dimension of his knowledge of the name and authority of the Most High, none discerned to the same dimension as he. And for righteousness' sake, he would judge and make war. For peace' sake, he would judge and make war. He would smite the nations with the rod of righteousness, brothers and sisters, an unflinching word of truth. That all shall discern wherein has error lurked, that men might finally know how to repent and discern their guilt, in discerning their guilt before Yah, know how to turn back toward him. But is that what by and large is being taught in this society, or have men been made apathetic? Because so many say something different. They all say it's salvation. And there are those, my brothers and sisters, not realizing the devil is deviation. that go along with the, what's really not a very funny joke at all. I'd like to call attention to Psalm 12 and 1. Because like I said, there are many who, well, think about it. The leaders of the seminaries find this very much to their advantage if they can keep people believing this. Listen, many say simply, they pass out tracts. See these guys walking down the street and they have little tracts in their hands. Hey, you can buy them so much for every, so many for a dollar, so many for so many, so, you know, so many dollars, whatever. Hey, in the Bible bookstores, those who just pass them out. And one of the predominating phrases in so many of them is not just Yah so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed in him might not perish. They never tell you that those who believe in him are not those who believe every wind of false doctrine. Because apparently believing in every wind of false doctrine is to perish. It is sin. How can man believe a lie and not Yah and still be called faith? It doesn't make sense. They also have another verse that says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They forget what those scriptures actually say. That those who call upon his name cannot be those who call upon his name not in truth nor in righteousness. Those who call upon his name and can truly call upon his name unto being made whole before him have to have a call and a leading and a guidance is from him. He says, and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. In other words, the city of peace. Where shall be that heaven on earth? It shall be deliverance to a remnant. A remnant whom the Most High has called. But let me tell you something. When you look around here today, you hear people from some of every part of the globe. Hey, it's not a remnant. What they call a remnant of righteous ones is not so righteous if they can accept a multitude of divisions. He says to a remnant whom the Most High has called, the Most High reveals his vision. He calls men to see reality. He calls them to discern where there's a word of truth. And he calls them first to check every man's word with himself. So many of my brothers and sisters will not tell you that if you hear a word, you need to check it with the Most High before you so quickly jump in to believe. I prefer that every man does this because I know there's a lot of things that I say in this implication. If the Most High does not sharpen it in the minds, it won't be comprehended, not to the dimension that it needs be. I don't flatter myself or anyone else to say that just simply was heard verbally is sufficient to fully clarify an idea. I don't blaspheme in the Holy Spirit in that matter. Messiah said there's many things I would tell you, but you cannot receive them yet. He said, to the comforter, the Holy Spirit has come. What's that, Yohanan 16:17? Look it up right up in there. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's a dimension of truth. That the scripture says the Messiah appears, he will relate it. His words, line upon line, precept upon precept. But a lot of things will go right by a whole lot of people. Simply because they didn't have a certain foundation to discern the nature of his words. The high implicative nature of his words. How all of his words reinforce all else that he has or would say. For his word is a constant, my brothers and sisters. Psalms 12. And there's a petition. Help. Help. Help, Father. For the godly man ceases. The man who realizes, as the scripture says in Isaiah 57, few understand, my brothers and sisters, that it's the righteous man that escapes the wrath that is to come. 57:1 talks of Isaiah, says, godly man ceases. None considers that it's the righteous man that escapes the wrath that is to come. Why? Because people feel like, hey, they can believe whatever they want to it, or whatever dimensions of partiality or pollution they have. And sit back and say, hey, that's the best they intend to offer the Most High. They're not willing to ask him for more.
They're not willing to humble themselves to ask for more. Not willing to humble themselves to know that they need more. And leaders aren't willing to humble themselves to tell folks they need more than all that they divisively have declared. But like I said, seminary school can tell you real quickly, hey, just call upon the name of the Most High and be saved. It's not about discretion. They're not marketing discretion. They're marketing a tool by which men can preside over congregations and seem before the congregations to be wise. But he says, help, oh yeah, for the godly man ceases and the faithful fail from among the children of men. And yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters, there's a prophecy concerning these very times. They speak vanity, every one to with his neighbor. Wow. Do they seek to make their neighbor also fruitless, vain, unworthy? Is that what we call love? Agape, my brothers and sisters, that they talk about agape love, Greek word. And it's a love for all the contradictions that men want to call godly. But brothers and sisters, does that make one pleasing before the Most High? Not according to Malachi 2:17. He said, if you weary, just honor him with a multitude of different or diverse words, doctrines. No, he is not with this pleased. So obviously the one with whom he is pleased, he said, the Lord whom you see, behold, he comes suddenly to his temple. He said, one whom his soul delights, he said in Isaiah 42, is one who's going to declare what is justice. And they didn't tell you the word for justice is also the word for what is righteous, what is whole, what is pure, what is complete, what is in harmony with the Most High in all things. But say they speak vanity, everyone to his neighbor, and with flattering lips. Yes, they not just flattering, they are flattening. They lay you out flat, dead in the doorknob, if you get my point. But how many understand it? How many understand it? My grandfather, I was talking, let me sound like my grandfather for a minute. He used to say, a heap sees is a few knows. Say, with flattering lips and with a double heart, do they speak? How many are concerned, my brothers and sisters? Man, to be true to him was irrevocably constant, must become true after the will of one. With a double heart did they speak. He says, Yah shall cut off these flattering lips and the tongue that speak proudful things. Believe me, a man's got to be mighty doggone arrogant to presume the will of the Most High. To just presume to speak the Most High and the Most High hadn't spoken to him first. To be so prideful of his own intellectual power that he believes that he can be true to the Most High without guidance or being sure of that guidance. That's very arrogant, my brothers and sisters. A man arrogant in his ignorance does not make himself wise. So Yah should cut off the flattering lips because he has to cast aside whatever it is that dissuades, misleads, his people, for they all must learn to walk together, my brothers and sisters. And how can they do this lest they be agreed? How can men agree, my brothers and sisters, after a multitude of contradicting, hypocritical words of compromise? He says, cursed is everyone who does not confirm everything that he has declared to do it. How does my brothers and sisters say they are blessed? They compromise because of the unbelief of men. He says, the people have said, with our own tongues, how about with our own words, we fail. As if to say they could destabilize the very promise, the very covenant of the Most High by their own words to be accepted, the mention of which they can what? Persuade men? There's a reason why the apostle Shaul, called Paul, said concerning the gospel that men have fallen to another word, another gospel, which is not the gospel. And he asked the question, do I seek to persuade men or Yah? And he said, if I seek to persuade according to the will of men, and that's what oftentimes persuades men. He said he would not be a servant of Yah. And he said, if any man preaches any other word that does not seek to please Yah first, that's really what it's saying. He said, let him be accursed. A flattering word, my brothers and sisters, is not what brings reconciliation with Yah. It's the truth that will. It's the truth that will set you free from those who would seek to capture with flatterers. Because if you can so quickly be caught by a flatterer, it's because you seek to exalt yourself and not Yah first. Real simple, my brothers and sisters, if we are willing to receive it. He said, there are those who say with their own tongue, because they say they are saved, because they say they believe. Brothers and sisters, faith and the power to call upon the holy name in truth, that is a gift from him who is true. Dare we say, in the midst of 45,000 nominations, somebody just pick what they will, and that delivers them from a deceiver? Brothers and sisters, it's time to think again. Men say with their own tongue they prevail, and their lips are their own, and no one challenges. So they say, who is Lord of us? Who will judge? Act as if there will be none. Like Scripture said in Malachi, you dishonor the Most High with your words, all your false doctrine. You say that everyone who does evil, deviant, contentious, contradictions, illusions, you say they're still good inside of the Most High, and he delights in such. And the Aramaic says that you even go as far as say, where is the righteous one? Where is a judge who will judge us according to righteous judgment? As if everyone feels that he will be judged according to the imaginations of his own hearts. The Scripture says, when the Son of Man comes, it says, who can stand when he appears? He's like refiner's fire, like full of soap. And it means, my brothers, is anything that is not consistent with the word of the Most High. When it says purge, my brothers and sisters, it means it won't exist amidst that which is intended to survive. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. It's time to discern. Say, for the oppression of the poor. In other words, there are those, they put down poor here, but it really means those who are meek, those who are humble, those who are not so proud in their hearts that they won't listen. Those who yearn for the knowledge of righteousness, even though they might not have it, but yearn for the seeing of it. Yearn, ache for the discernment of it. Say, for the oppression of those who don't just quickly get my point, follow every doctrine of delusion. And believe me, my brothers and sisters, they're those who will offer you some of anything, you just go along with the program that they would present. He said, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. He says, now I will arise, says the Most High. And I will set those, get the point, those who look for righteousness. What does the Scripture say in Isaiah 59? A Savior should come to Zion to those who would turn from a transgression in Yaakov. Isaiah 59:19-21. You see, when the enemy, those who would keep men snared, bribed, enticed with a lie, should seek to come against the knowledge of the exceeding truth. You see, the Most High, against that enemy, against those flatterers who seek to bribe you with illusion, he said he would lift up a standard against them, and his covenant from thence forward, henceforward, do not depart from your mouths, nor the mouth from your descendants. No one to ever dissuade you again. Yes, my brothers and sisters, we're talking about those who are part of that first resurrection. No one to dissuade. No one to harm. Henceforth, even forever. My brothers and sisters, we all who know the Scriptures know about Isaiah. Well, how about this? We know about Ezekiel 38, 39 chapter. know about Revelation 20. Know that there's a time after the millennial reign that we're going to settle this thing once and for all. But blessed are those, my brothers and sisters, who awaken to the truth and are part of that first resurrection, that, hey, come into the temple, come into the temple in the way of righteousness and not go out again. But I want you to hear me, my brothers and sisters. Yes, there's going to be a judgment against the nation that will come against that holy city, the Most High declares, to bring an end to the confusion among the nations once and for all, wherever the souls have been weakened by the flying lips of those who would cause men to turn against the concept that the Most High is one. Lots to talk about there. But I would just simply, to help understand, I would just simply tell you, read Ezekiel 37 through 38. And read about the scriptures at the end of the millennial reign and what happens to those who will come against the holy city the Most High has consecrated. Discern the reality, my brothers and sisters. All it's telling you is that the Most High does not delight in this confusion. And if men actually believe that all these contradictions are true to Yah, simple as the Most High told me, if you can believe all these contradictions are a work of His Spirit, and His Spirit is holy. It is one. All things consistent. So if you believe that these contradictions are with the Holy Spirit, or that the Holy Spirit sanctions or created these contradictions, He said you simply cannot be a disciple of His. What does that mean by so many, concerning so many of my brothers and sisters who look at these contradictions and sit back and believe that all these people are so heavily inspired? Brothers and sisters, be careful. There's a difference between a clean and an unclean spirit. There's a difference between a clean and unclean testimony. There's a difference between a clean and an unclean word. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, for the oppression of the poor and the sighing of the needy, He said, now will arise, says Yah. In other words, He would declare what indeed is His glory, that all eyes might see it, to put shame in every other word. And I will set those who seek what is righteous, what He's saying, and save it from those who are puffed up against it. Same word in the original language. He said, for the words of Yah are pure, pure words, as silver tried in a furnace, the earth purified seven times, purified and purified again and again, till nothing remains but that which is pure and perfect, the word and the mind and the thoughts of the Most High. Again, the word for word in Hebrew is the word also that relates thoughts, precepts, concepts. And all must be in alignment, perfectly in alignment. The words of Yah are pure words, silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. And He said, those who then, my brothers and sisters, seek this pure word, attain to this pure word, purged of all the misconceits of this earth, because they seek Yah, and they want to be assured that in word and deed what they speak, what they exhibit, what they show forth in their words and deeds is true to Him. He says, Yah shall keep, He shall preserve, He shall uphold them, O Yah. Thou shalt preserve them, He said, from this, how about this crooked generation forever? We live in a world, my brothers and sisters, that we were warned that it would be so, that the lawless would rather pretend than find righteousness. The wicked, lawless, same word, would rather than no one know the truth so that everyone could pretend, so that the adversary could find his way into so many unguarded souls. You see, the wicked walk on every side, lawlessness, darkness, confusion, misconceits in the hearts of men on every side. And did you hear what it says? The vilest men in this world are those that seem to be the exalted. Well, consider this, my brothers and sisters. Revelation in the 16th chapter, because I saw unclean spirits go forward to the kings of the earth. Kings, my brothers and sisters, who sustain and uphold many forms of contradictive systems, governments, denominations, cultures, social misorders. You see, he saw these unclean spirits like frogs go forth to the kings of the whole earth. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, demons who have proven most influential in their capacity to persuade masses, oftentimes, my brothers and sisters, are given some of those big-time presiding jobs. So you need to understand, a righteous man, a truly righteous man, desires indeed what indeed truly Yah is acceptable. True Jew is one who's praised, and one who he seeks to praise. It's not man who he seeks to honor. It's not man. True Jew is one who's desire to give honor is unto Yah. And even if a whole world be a liar, he knows that Yah will yet be true, and so must he. Messiah asked the leaders of his time, how is it that praise from men you want, but praise from Yah only you do not want? What manner of leaders are these, my brothers and sisters, that knowing if they have any sense of divine sense about them at all, knowing that a multitude of contradictions only is to the damnation of human souls, what manner of soul is it, whether man be among the leaders or among the people? What manner of soul is it that is not driven, there's not something in him that drives him to seek the greater truths? There's a reason why Messiah said the spirit of truth the world would not receive. He said some never had, in 2 Thessalonians, he said some never had a love of the truth, they might be saved thereby. First command, love Yah with all your mind, heart, soul, and might. And it means you love him in the integrity that he is, as you would love a child, desiring that nothing harm the health and the stability of what he is and what he is to be. You don't want anything to harm his development. You don't want anything to harm the full fruition of his beauty. Well, Yah says, if you love me, you would seek to preserve his plan. You seek to discern his plan. You won't presume what you think is right. You'll ask him
90 seconds
what he finds worthy and acceptable. But it said the wicked, many who are willing to pridefully in themselves, just presume and don't want to discern wherein they might not be right. He said they walk on every side. He calls them vile men, my brothers and sisters, or those this world exalts. Don't be tricked, my brothers and sisters, by those whose avocation is separate in their differences. You ask the Most High, my brothers and sisters, for discretion. Which would you rather have? Someone who flatters you to death, or someone who tells you the truth that you might be free? Carnal mind, my brothers and sisters, is angered, despises, has an enmity against the truth. But as I wrote the title to tonight's show, when lies divide us, in other words, when we find that we've been divided by lies, it is for those of us who have a love of the truth and are reasonable, truth will be our healer. My brothers and sisters, the salvation of man is to those who have a love of the truth. To speak again, my brothers and sisters, I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings there, to his praise always. Hallelujah! And I thank you all again for listening. The truth sets men free. What do lies do?